what to do living in a dry season. I know nobody here has ever dealt with that. But you might, and if you walk this walk long enough, you will. And that's not putting a bad confession on you. That's just telling you the truth. But you know, after I share today, you might not be so concerned about it. And if you're in one, we're going to help you with it. 2 Timothy 4:2. Let me get over there and read it. Paul is writing to young Timothy, and he's telling him something here in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2. He says, preach the word, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. In season and out of season. So that tells you that there's going to be at least two seasons in your life, isn't there? An in season and an out season. Hallelujah. See, as Christians, we want everything to be great. I was thinking about it last night, and I don't know, you know, it just came to me. A lot of Christianity, we've painted it like taking the kids to McDonald's. You know, at McDonald's, they got everything just right. They've got a playground. They've got a Happy Meal. You just come and get your little Happy Meal, and you get a toy with it, and it's just wonderful. Amen. Everything's just the way you want it. It's great at McDonald's, isn't it? When our kids were little, if you asked them where they wanted to go, let's go to McDonald's. But you know what? We grow up out of that, don't we? We grow up out of that. And all of a sudden we realize that, you know, that man cannot live on Happy Meals alone. We're going to have something more nutritious. We're going to have something that builds a greater strength in us, a greater health in us, because we have a great responsibility and a great challenge and a great call on our lives. Thank you for your enthusiasm. So he said, be instant in season, out of season. I want to read one more. 1 Timothy, just hang a left back there a little bit. 6:12, Paul said, fight the good fight of faith. Fight the good fight of faith. I was reading something that Mark Twain said. You might relate to this if you're going through a dry season. As Mark Twain, he's describing this fellow that's fighting. He said, thrusting my nose firmly between his teeth, I threw him heavily to the ground on top of me. You ever felt like that when you were fighting the good fight of faith? Oh, wait a minute here. God, you said I'm the head, not the tail. Wait a minute. What's this weight on top of me? What's this thing I'm going through? But however we want to say it, I like to talk about it's like going through a dry season. You know, it just seems like there's not too much going on. There's not too much happening. There's a little bit of a struggle going on. It's a little bit difficult. Doesn't look like a whole lot's happening in your life or in an area of your life. But I want to encourage you that there are good things that can come out of a season like that if we understand what is happening and how to cooperate with that God in that season in our life so that it can be productive, not destructive. Amen? Amen. What the enemy brings for your downfall, God intends for it to be your building up. Yes. But see, if we don't have understanding, then the enemy's schemes, his attacks against us, they may succeed. Amen? Turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke 4. Let's get into this real quickly. I want us to, at Luke 4, I want us to read one verse and then we're going to back up. But we're going to kind of advance here and then back up. Verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about him spread through the whole countryside. Oh, hallelujah. It says he returned in the power of the Spirit. Man, he was doing miracles. I mean, people were hearing the gospel. Blind eyes were being opened. It says he returned in the power of the Spirit. But what I want to emphasize today is, and where we're going to look at and back up, is this word returned. He returned. Well, where did he return from? He just came from Brother Copeland's camp meeting. Amen. He'd just been to a Joy of Living Women's Conference. And he returned in the power of the Spirit. Come on. Oh, let's back up and see where he returned from. Luke 4, verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the desert. How many know the desert's a dry place? This is where, in verse 14, this is where he returned from. He didn't return from camp meeting. He didn't return from, you know, from a Holy Ghost meeting with Benny Hinn or something. He didn't, it says he returned from where? From the desert. Maybe you're in the desert this morning. You may find out that that's not as bad a place as you thought. And was led by the Spirit in the desert. Uh-oh. He was led by the Spirit into the desert. Whoa, wait a minute, Lord. You're all mixed up here. We're just going from glory to glory. We're a glory to glory church. We're a faith to faith church. We're a blessing to blessing church. We don't believe in none of this desert stuff. Uh-oh. We're a Happy Meal church. Where's the playground? Returned from the Jordan, was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. Uh-oh. Nobody's shouting yet. And on top of that, he ate nothing. Oh, no. Boy, that's a low blow, isn't it? He ate nothing during those days. And at the end of them, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, all will be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered and said, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. Now I want to go back to where he returned from. And I want us to look at that. Because he was led by the Spirit into the desert, into a dry place. He was led into a place where there were no crowds, there were no people, there were no meetings, there were no, none of this was going on, no seminars, nothing was happening, no prayer lines, nothing at all was happening. He was just out there by himself, he and God and one other person, the devil. Oh, hallelujah. Has this got your attention so far? You ever felt like that's where you were? It's me, it's God, and it's the devil. And that's about all I can see. And sometimes, Lord, it's hard to see you. Come on. It feels like, now I know you're with me, but it feels like it's just two of us, me and the devil. And I feel like, in wrestling with this devil, what Mark Twain said, I am thrusting my nose firmly into his teeth and throwing to the ground heavily on top of me. That's how I feel. Can I get a witness from anybody? Come on. Did I hear the wrong thing? So he came to the wilderness. It was dry. It was barren. It was a place of inactivity and solitude. There were no accolades here. There were no crowds here. Nobody was yelling, "Hosanna to the Son of God." Oh, buddy, none of that was happening. None of that was going on. We're in a dry place. It looks like, man, you know what God called me, the dream he gave me. I don't seem to be advancing. I don't seem to be moving forward. I know what God spoke to me about my family, about my marriage, about my business. It don't look like it's happening. It looks like it's dry. It looks like it's not happening. It looks like, what's going on here? Can I get a witness? But sometimes God has to draw us away from the crowd to find the cloud. You know what I mean by the cloud? In the Old Testament, the cloud represented God's presence. His presence. And see, it's in the desert place. It's in that place of solitude. It's in that place of it looks like inactivity, that not a whole lot is happening. That is your time to draw away from all of that. See, what we want to do is we want to jumpstart all that stuff that was happening before we got into this season. Oh, wait a minute. Man, remember that? Oh, remember when we used to have them good meetings? Oh, man, we need to get back to that. Get back. Where does the Bible say we're to get back? It says we're to go forward, aren't we? You know, Israel is a great example of this. They came out of Egypt with signs and wonders and mighty miracles. I mean, God shook the place. He shook the place. He split the sea. They went through it. My goodness alive. He slew the firstborn of their enemies. I mean, everything. I mean, you know, and then all of a sudden, after all of that activity, all of that supernaturalness, all of that going on, they're in the desert. Wasn't a whole lot of that happening. Oh, they got the manna, yeah. But there wasn't a whole lot happening. What happened to the miracles? Wait a minute. Because as soon as the miracles, you know, God stopped, you know, razzle-dazzling them every day, they begin to doubt. See, God brought them there. Why? He wanted to build their faith. Listen, you know this. If you've been coming here, you know, I believe in miracles. I believe in the supernatural power of God. We want it. We need it, and so forth. But I'm going to tell you what. My faith's not based on whether or not God did something like that for me today. My faith is based on the living God and on His Word and on His covenant and on the Lord Jesus and on the blood that was shed for me. Amen. And the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That's my bedrock. Yeah. So, you know, we have to get away from the crowd sometime to find the cloud. Listen, the dry season is to prove us, to try us, to discipline us, and to develop us for greater usefulness and fruitfulness. Because you notice when he returned from here, how did he return? In the power of the Spirit. Now, everybody wants verse 14. Every Christian I ever talked to, every Spirit-filled Christian, every Christian that believes the Bible, that believes that Jesus is the same yesterday and ever, everybody wants verse 14, the power of the Spirit. And you should. But I'm telling you, the season you may have to go through to get there. Remember, he said be instant in season. Listen, when the Holy Ghost is moving like that, in season is in. Hallelujah. Where's the problem? Nobody has a problem when God's moving mightily. Things are beginning to happen. All your needs are met. Everything's in your life is just, God's just working in there. It's obvious. We can see the activity. We can see the work. We can see the power of God that's taking place in our lives. But what about that out season he talked to Timothy about? Oh, hallelujah. Listen, I already mentioned this morning, but verse 3, notice verse 3, 4-3, Luke 4-3. It says, the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God. The first thing is we get in this dry place, it enables us to discover or remember our true identity. See, because a lot of times our identity as Christians is based on all our activity. Or I've got a title. Or I'm over a ministry. Or I preach. Or I teach. Or I pray. Or I lay hands. Whatever it is. Come on. All that's absolutely, we should be doing that. But that's not my identity. That's not who I am. And notice here in this dry place where there were no crowds, where there was no sick bodies to heal, where there were no devils to cast out, where there was none of that going, that's when the devil challenged Jesus about his identity. And I want to tell you, it's in the dark hours, in the dry season, it's when everything seems to be going wrong in your life, and you're facing that, that's when that old devil will come and say, are you really an overcomer? Oh, you really believe that stuff that crazy preacher's preaching? You really think the devil's under your feet? Why, I've got you right where I want you. Come on. He did the same thing to Jesus. It's a time where you settle it. Listen, you settle it not because you're casting out any devils, not because there's anybody to lay hands on or anything. It's just you and God and the devil right there, and you've got to settle it down, bedrock from the Word of God and the Holy Ghost who lives in you and said, I am a child of God.
Good job.
So said, devil, you better get it settled, boy. Amen. So here's the thing. It brings us this place to our core. What is the source of your identity? Is it because you have a ministry or don't have a ministry? I've seen people there, when everything's going just right. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. First time something goes wrong, they're down. What is the source of your identity? It's got to be who you are in your relationship in Christ. Who you are. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God when I'm sleeping, when I'm awake. I'm a child of God if I'm in the city or in the country. I'm a child of God whether I'm preaching or whether I'm not. I'm a child of God all the time, and I settled that. That's what the devil wants to tell you. It's a time we discover the core of who we really are. Because remember this, our identity determines our purpose. If my identity is in all the activity and having, a title or this or that or whatever it may be, if my identity is stemming out of that, then I'm going to tell you what, the devil's going to make sure that you work yourself to an early grave. No, listen, my purpose flows from my identity, but my identity is as a son of God, it's a child of God. My identity is not as a preacher or a pastor. That's not my identity. That's part of what I do, but that's not my identity. What I do is not my identity. What I do is not who I am. So if I'm not doing what I'm doing, I still am who I am. Did you get that? Did you write that down? don't ask me to repeat that. It's hard to repeat, but it's a fact, isn't it? It's truth. Listen, notice that, notice the word, and Satan always uses this, the word if you are, if you are, if you are. What? Because if is the badge of doubt. Yeah. If you're really a child of God, you wouldn't be going through this. If you're really a child of God, your kids would be serving the Lord. If you're really a child of God, you wouldn't be having difficulty in your finances. If you're a child of God, come on. So what he got, he tried to get Jesus to do something. See, he tried to get Jesus to move his identity from who he was to doing something. Oh, turn some of these stones into bread. Then we'll really see your identity. No, he said, you get behind me. Dumb devil. Isn't that right? I'm a child of God. I don't have to turn something into bread. I don't have to be preaching, praying, doing anything. I'm still a child of God. Amen? So he wants to move us out of our... Listen, he does that to move us out of our sonship and true identity to operating out of our ego. There's a lot of ego ministry in the body of Christ. Ooh, boy, I could go to meddling here, couldn't I? That people do stuff, it's out of their ego. They're trying to prove that they're something, that they're proved that their identity, that they're this or they're that or they're the other. And it all flowing out of our ego rather than flowing out of the power of the Spirit. Because in the dry place, that's where ego is either going to be exalted or it's going to be put down. You remember Saul, don't you, King Saul? Remember when he was first anointed king and everything was going great, and he won some battles and had some battles under his belt and everything. And then remember, God told him through the prophet, he said, now, before you go to this next great battle, you wait there 7 days and wait for the prophet to come. When the prophet comes, he's going to make an offering to the Lord, and then you're going to go out and battle and be victorious. 1 day, 3 day, 4 day, 5 day, 6 days went by. Everything was great. No problem. 7 day came. 9 o'clock in the morning, the prophet wasn't there. 12 noon, the prophet wasn't there. Well, it's still all right. We're in pretty good shape here. 3 o'clock in the afternoon, the prophet still hadn't come. Boy, old Saul's starting a little bit of sweat breaking out there, 6 o'clock at night, the prophet still wasn't there. And so here's the thing. What did Saul do? He got over into his ego. He got over into his ego because what? He forgot his identity. Who set him in that place? God did. Who called him in that place? God did. Who anointed him in that place? God did. Who gave him directions for the battle? God did. But when it looked like it wasn't happening the way he thought it was, when it looked like it wasn't going to take place, that God was going to be late. Anybody know about that? God being late? It must be some people can relate to it. I hear you laughing. You got, We're not looking for a show of hands, but have you ever thought God was late? That's what happened. And see, this is what happens when we get into the dry season. In a time like this, we're out in the desert. It looks like God's promise is not happening. It looks like God's word to us is not happening. It looks like God's forgotten about us. Who are? Wait a minute. Hey, Lord. Remember me? Because we know in the world that what do you say in the world? The squeaky wheel gets the oil, right? So we, hey, Lord. And you know the story. It said that Saul, he got into his ego. He forgot who he was. He forgot what God said. He got into his ego. And out of his ego and pride, he went and performed the sacrifice which God hadn't called him to do. You remember the story. And here's the thing. You ever had this happen on a different level, but happen? Just as he finished doing it, the prophet showed up. You don't think that was coincidence, do you? You don't think that was just no? Listen, I'll bet you anything. God said, spoke to that donkey or whatever the prophet was riding on, said, slow down a little bit. Come on. And then all of a sudden, maybe the prophet got tired, and he got thought, man, I believe I'll stop off and visit old Silas over here, or somebody, and visit for a while, or whatever. But it wasn't no coincidence that he showed up right after Saul had done it. What? There was a proving for Saul. There's a proving for you. As you're going through this place, listen, you stand tall in who you are. You're a child of God in season and out of season, Paul said. It doesn't matter if everything's going right or everything's going wrong. It doesn't change who you are. You're in Christ. You're seated at the right hand. You're a child of God. You're a joint heir. You belong to God. All the promises of God are yes and amen to you. You stand up strong. Bless God. I am what I am because God made me this. Not because I'm doing something. Come on. It is good. Ego plays on insecurities, doesn't it? And see, when we're going through a time like this, all your insecurities begin to come up. I better do something. I better make something happen. That's what Saul thought. I got to make something happen. The Lord ain't doing nothing here. We got to do something. We got to make something happen. And then on top of that, other people will tell you that. Well-meaning people, but they'll tell you, boy, you better do something. And I'm sure Saul probably had a lot of advisors telling him, you better do something. Because it says there, the people begin to leave him. Saul began to look at his circle and say, all these people are leaving. I'm sure he had some advice. Boy, you better do something here, boy. You about to lose it. And so he acted out of his insecurities in his ego and human pride. And you know what? He did lose it. Because if you read on there, God told him through the prophet, he said, if you'd have just obeyed me, if you'd have just settled down. And he didn't say this, but I'm paraphrasing this. If Saul had just remembered who he was. If he'd have just remembered who he was. He was king. He was God's anointed. He was called by God. All he had to do was live in that identity. Have faith in God in that identity. And you know what? God, he said, the kingdom would have been yours forever. Wow. So let me ask you, what are the ifs, the what ifs the devil's speaking to you? The only safe response is the one Jesus gave. It is written. Next time the devil comes to challenge your identity as a child of God, you say, it is written. Yeah, but look at this. Yeah, but it is risen. Well, what about that? It is risen. Well, when's God going to do this? It is risen. Because otherwise, he's going to get you to begin to doubt. Your insecurities are going to begin to rise up. And that ego, every one of us has got it. Got one, an ego and pride. And you're going to begin to do things that is going to mess up God's plan and God's purpose for you. What is his plan and purpose? That you return from that place in the power of the Spirit. Because he's got a plan and a purpose for you, and he only wants it to be done, just like Jesus got his done, in the power of the Spirit. Not in the ego, not in the pride, not in all of that. It's a place, too, this desert, where power and possessions are reexamined. We know, you know this, in Genesis 1, 26 through 28, it says that God made man, and he said, let us give them dominion. Remember that? give them dominion over the fish and over everything on the earth and so forth. God gave them dominion. And not only did he give them dominion, he gave them a possession. He put them in Eden. He said, now this is yours, you keep it, you do all that. So man was made for dominion and for possessions. See, I don't go for this. See, that's another reason I can't buy this poverty thing. I mean, what's to have dominion over in poverty? You ain't got nothing. I guess God's command, be a good steward, don't apply to you because you ain't got nothing. You ain't got nothing to be a steward over. I'm going to be a steward over this empty space here. Come on. That's one of the ways God proves us, is stewardship. What will you do? It starts with what's inside you, and then what's inside you, you develop, and it begins to affect what's around you as you exercise authority and dominion. Amen? But then see, if that's not given to God, then pride and ego begin to lift you up. And the next thing you know, those things that you were once a steward over become idols that you are now worshiping. So this power and possession was to flow from being first what under God's rule and authority. Under God's rule. Where did Adam and Eve mess up? They got out from under God's rule and authority. Oh, I can do this, Lord. I can do this. Amen, no problem. I can do this with one hand tied behind my back. I can do it with the other hand tied behind my back. I can do it with both hands tied behind my back. I got it, Lord. I got it. Yeah, yeah. Go help Pastor Dwayne. He needs help, but I got it. Come on.
Amen.
And the next thing you know, you ain't got it. It's got you. And so we go through this time because what? Satan wants to make us what? Grasping and lustful for things. See, it's not the things, it's what's motivating how we're going about to get the things and the place the things have in our affection and in our heart. And remember, he said he took him to Jerusalem, took him up here and said, all this can be yours. You know, what was it one of the game shows? I think it was The Price is Right or whatever. All this can be yours if the price is right or something like that, isn't it? Wasn't it? I don't know. Is it still come on? Okay, but if you're old enough, you remember that. And that's what the devil was saying to him in so many words. Jesus, all this can be yours if the price is right. And what was the price? All you got to do is worship me. All you got to do is bow down. Bow down to this system. Bow down to this stuff. Bow down to some money. Bow down to your ego. Bow down to pursuing your own plans and purposes. Bow down to this stuff. That's the only price. And it can all be yours. Come on. Because it sure looks like God ain't coming through. Come on. You're a man of faith. You're a woman of faith. God ain't doing nothing. Come on. Listen, worship. I want to read this to you. Worship, because that's what he was tempting Jesus to do, is connected to our source. Now listen. Whatever gives me happiness and security receives my worship. And worship is the constant, regular thought, attention, and activity toward a thing. Listen, whatever gives me happiness and security receives my worship. See, this is not the only time you worship on Sunday when we come in here and the team leads us. You're worshiping all week long. You're worshiping something. Whatever you're giving your attention to, your thoughts to, your energy to, that consumes you, that you're worshiping it. Are you listening? That's worship. And that's what was he trying to get Jesus to do? To take the worship from the Father onto something else. And you know what? Paul said, an idol is nothing. But he said, I want to remind you that there are demonic powers associated with the idol. And so when you worship the idol, you, unbeknown to you, you're worshiping demons. And listen, an idol doesn't have to be something carved out of a tree. It could be a flat screen on the wall. Moving along here. Woo, where'd that come from? It proves my motives. This, we're talking about, what do we do in a dry season? I got to hurry along because I want to help you out. Right now I'm talking about, it proves my motives and prepares us for a greater anointing. Amen? Listen, right motives engender greater trust from God. and a greater anointing to expand the kingdom. Amen. Can you be faithful in the dry season? Can you allow the work of the Holy Spirit to work in a dry season? Or, as Paul wrote, out of season. Man, it's easy to follow God when everything's going good and the blessing of God's on you. And boy, you got joy and peace, man. And, you know, even the cat's serving God. I mean, it's just great. Amen. You know what I mean? I mean, it's just, you know. But see, it's in these times, what, of the dry season that will prove us. Now, real quickly, because I've got to close here. Embracing the dry season. What do we do in the dry season? Let me just give you some thoughts here I think will help you real quickly. Embracing. If you're in that season, if you're not, you'll probably go through one. Anybody here ever been through one in your Christian walk? Sure. Well, those of you who didn't raise your hand, look out, you're due. Listen, first of all, recognize the beauty in the change of season. Recognize it. You know, even in the desert, there's beauty. Just depends on how you look at it, isn't it? Most of you, if not all of you, been in a desert. I've been in a desert. There's beauty out there to be seen. Amen. And when we understand that a change of season means that what? That's going to be followed by what? Increase. If what? I embrace the season. If I will be what? In the out season, I will be just as faithful, just as committed, just as focused on God, just as much in love, just as much a worshiper of God as when the season was great. The second thing is we recognize it's a season of solitude. It's an opportunity to get back in touch with God and my own self. Out there, I mean, man, you know, nobody was pulling on Jesus. There was no women out there touching the garment, the hem of his garment. There was nobody pulling him 16 different ways. There was nobody, you know, saying, come over here, come over there, do this for us. Jesus, come heal my daughter. None of that was happening right then. What, it was a time of solitude. It was a time where he was getting in touch with the Father. And we need times like that, where we get in touch. You know, as Americans, we, for the most part, most of us in our generation, we hate nothing so much as solitude. Come on. We have to have noise on everywhere we are. Don't matter where I'm watching the TV or not. Turn on when there's something in the back. Turn on the radio. Turn on this. Turn on that. When's the last time it was just quiet for more than 30 seconds? Boy, most people, your flesh starts getting so antsy and come on. Oh, man. We got to have some stimulation here. Come on. And so much of that gets into the church. You know, I want us to grow to a place where we could come to a church and we could have a part of that time where we could just be quiet and wait on God. Nobody playing, nobody singing, nobody praying, nobody-ing, nothing. Except the Holy Spirit speaking to our hearts, centering us down, focusing us again. It's a season for slowing down and regenerating my energies. You know, sometimes God will bring you to that because there's going to be a transition. Because, you know, here's how we are. God tells us to do something. Bless God, we're going to do it. You know, grandma did it. Great-grandma did it. Great-great-grandma did it. And bless God, we're doing it. Come on. And God, sometimes the only way he can get us to begin to consider a change that he might want to bring to our life is we go through one of these dry seasons right here all of a sudden where all that activity kind of ceases for a while so that we can get ready for the next thing. You've heard me tell the story, you know, the daughter watching the mother cook, you know, putting the roast in, and she cut off both ends of the roast and everything and then put it in the oven. Her daughter said, why do you cut off the ends of the roast? What's that for? And the mom kind of stopped a minute and said, well, you know, I really don't know. Your grandma did it. So she, you know, grandma was still alive, so she called her mom, said, daughter and I were talking to her, you know, and why do you cut off the end of the roast? I do it because you always did it. She said, well, you know, she said, I started doing it because, you know, the pan I had was too small. So I had to cut off both ends to fit it in. See, there was a reason at the time, but, you know, isn't that true? But sometimes God has to take us to a place where some of that stops, you know, somewhere along the line. That stops. You know, it was great in its day because it had a purpose. But now it's just become an empty form. So God takes us to this. He says, okay, let some of that stop. Now, that was good in his day, but now I got something fresh and new. We're going to do something new here. But, you know, as humans, man, we don't want to let go of nothing, especially in the church. We're the worst. Come on. Man, I'm telling you what, don't you dare move that chair. Great-grandpa put that chair there. Come on, isn't that true? Oh, Lord. Also, during this time, we learned that listening is just as important as doing. Boy, that's a biggie there. Listening to God is just as important as doing for God. Oh, boy. See, especially, you know, us Americans in the American church, we got the do down. A doo-wop, you know. We can do, man. We grew up with the doo-wop. We can do it. Isn't that right? Seen that commercial, this guy's so busy on TV, I can do this, I can do that, I can do a lunch, I can do this, I can do that, I can do that. And finally somebody asked him to do something, he said, how do I do that? Well, that's what kind of work God wants to bring you to, a place where you finally come to a halt long and say, hey, how do I do that? Listen. As I already mentioned, sometimes it's a time to prepare us for the next season. It's a time for course corrections. I mentioned that. It can be a season to receive a fresh word for the next season. When Jesus came out, he not only came out in the power of the Spirit, he had a message. I didn't read it, but if you go on down there, he had a message. He had a message. Brother Hagin said that one of the visions he had of Jesus, he said, Jesus told him, he said, I didn't just preach that in Nazareth. He said, that's the first message I preached wherever I went into a new town. He said, that's the first message I preached. I preach that everywhere. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Amen. See, we have a message. You come out of that. John the Baptist came out of the desert. Hallelujah. A lot of people that impacted the world for the kingdom of God, they came out of a desert season. The prophet, he heard God. Where? In the cave. Where did David learn to serve God? In the cave. Not at McDonald's. Real quickly, let me read you a couple of scriptures, then we're going to pray. Romans 4, let's turn over there real quickly. It's about 8 after 12. How many give me just a little bit longer so we can end this up? Is this helping you any? Yeah. Romans 4. I'm going to read verse 18. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. This, of course, the background is he's talking about Abraham. You all know the story of Abraham. Most of us do, I'm sure. God gave him a promise to have a son, you know, when he was in his 70s. Went through the 70s, no son. Went through the 80s, no son. Now he's approaching 100, still no son. Boy, I'm telling you what, God needs to get it together. I mean, 25 years. Me and my wife can make a baby in 9 months. Come on. See, I'm talking about, see, your mind, your ego begins to talk to you. The devil will talk to you through it. Oh, why in the world? Why is this taking so long? I mean, you could do this, you could do that, you could do the other. Come on. I want to read this to you from the Amplified because I like it. And all this time went through, and how many of you know Abraham was human like us? Sure he was. He was human, just like you and I. Verse 18, it says, for Abraham, human reason for hope being gone. Oh, buddy. And that way the devil is, buddy, you've had it. You might as well throw in the towel. You might as well give up. There ain't no way. Look at this. Look at that. Look at that. The deadline's passed. This passed. Blah, 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 blah. Come on. Don't you think he's telling a man that's been waiting nearly 25 years and now he's 99, his wife's 90? You ain't going to have no boy. You just dreamed all that up. God didn't appear to you. You didn't hear from God. You had some bad lamb. It wasn't cooked. Come on. We look at these guys and we think they just kind of sailed through. But they were human too. Man, this man wanted a son. He wanted a boy. He wanted a young'un. For Abraham, human reason for hope being gone, hoped in faith. Oh, I was sharing this scripture with Pastor Dwayne in the office yesterday. We meet on Fridays, kind of to go over things and everything. And I said, you know, it's like making a shift. You know, remember we started off talking about how you're in two places at one time. Don't try to figure it out in your noodle. You're here, but you're seated there too. But see, human hope, that's right here where we are. That's in this realm. That's living in this sphere. That's living in the day-to-day grind. That's living in the stuff. And we're down here and the devil's talking to you and people are talking to you and the world's talking. Come on. And all that. And that, he said, that's human hope. Human hope was all gone. Abraham, he just made a shift. He went into that other persona. When human hope, human reason for all hope was gone, he hoped in faith that he should become the father of many nations as he had been promised. You say, it's all over, Pastor. It's all over. Hope's gone. I mean, it's it. That's it. They've served the papers. They've done this. They've done that. We've been notified. It's all over. It's this. This is it. This is it. This is it. He says, when all human reason for hope was gone, he shifted into this other realm of God promise, of God ability, of God's kingdom. And I want to tell you this morning, maybe you're here, and maybe human reason has told you hope is over. All hope is up. Why don't you just give it up? It's over. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. That business deal is not going to happen. That dream's not going to happen. That daughter or son's not coming back to the Lord or whatever it is. It's not going to happen. And everything you can look at, everything your feelings, everything your reason tells you, everything your business acumen has been trained to do says it's over. God says, be like Abraham and you make a shift today. And I am going to hope. In faith, my faith in the hope that's in God. In God. Listen, it's never too late for God. If you don't believe it, ask Lazarus. Remember Lazarus? He was sick unto death, and Jesus got there late. To human thinking. He's dead. He's in the ground. They done buried him. The funeral service is over. It is done. Boy, if anything you think would be done, that was done. Jesus said, roll away the stone. What? He said, you got to make a shift right here. From down here to up there. Seated. In heavenly places. My faith. I exercise my faith. What? From heavenly places. That's where my hope is. A shift. And I realize it doesn't matter. If God has to raise it from the dead. Not a problem. If God has to take nothing. And call it something. No problem. He calls those things which be not. As though they were. No problem. Where are you hooked up today? Maybe you're going through a dry season. I want to pray for you. Would you stand to your feet? Maybe you're going through a dry season, but I want to tell you something. Listen, there are lessons to be learned. There's strength to be gained. There's purpose to be realized. There's a fresh word to be received. There's a fresh anointing on the way to you. But here's the thing this morning. Some of you need to make that shift. That shift, because it's a shift in how you look at things. It's a shift in how you think about things. It'll affect your mouth. Your mouth begin to make a shift along with it. It'll begin to talk differently. And you'll begin to be one of those crazy people who call things that be not as though they were. You'll begin to tell people, my God is able. And my God will. Yeah, but it's too late. It's never too late for God. So this morning, I want to tell you, I want to pray for you. But some of you need to make that shift. It's just an internal something that you make a decision. Okay, I'm making this shift. I'm seated in the heavenly places. I'm in Christ. The promises of God are mine. And I may be in a dry season right now, but even in this dry season, God's going to work good things in my life. And I have anticipation for the season that's coming. It's a season full of harvest, full of blessing, full of anointing, full of purpose. The dream restored, the dream revived, things coming to life again. Listen, don't you let go. Don't let go. Don't you let go. You make a shift. You hearing me? Shift. I'm telling you, God's speaking to you today. Shift. 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 Father God, my God, we hear. Lord, may we hear the voice within the voice. May we hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. God, I pray by the operation. God, man's word cannot do anything, but the operation of the Holy Ghost right now, Lord, will enable us to shift. Shift right now. Shift our focus. Shift our hope. Shift our confidence to that heavenly place where we're seated at the right hand with Christ Jesus. And against all hope, we're going to hope on in faith. Hallelujah. Oh, it's not dead. It's alive. It's alive.